All right, thanks for joining us today, gang. This is Mike McKean sitting with Ralph Twombly of Priority Learning, and this is the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast. So thank you for joining us today. Our topic of today is being a change agent. So what exactly is a change agent?
Well, first of all, Mike, thank you, as always. You really drive a good discussion, and I enjoy these a lot. Let's talk a little bit about what change agents are. And I seldom talk to a leader when I don't remind them that that's their primary job. Leadership sees itself in a variety of ways, and it's nice to be in control and be in charge and do all that kind of stuff. And I think all of us are drawn to having more control, which is drives us to leadership. But the big piece of our job that we don't think about is the constant, and the constant is change. And I'm not sure that all leaders understand the dynamics of change in the workplace. So they find themselves struggling sometimes. Sometimes they get it just right because they'll put together a perfect team. But change has been a problem. I'm going to guess it always will, because it's the only constant in our leadership lives.
So when you think about change in a big or a small scale, you always find a lot of resistance. And I think that's a fairly natural thing, maybe as a species for us, and, you know, with just some sort of instinct in evolution that's like, stay safe, somewhere like that. But we can't grow without change. And that's something that is specifically special about humans, is that we do change and we adapt.
Well, let's get back to the first question, which was about resistance. I think we're a species that enjoys safety. And because we become such a safe species, is that we will opt for safety before we ever opt for anything that looks risky. And change always looks risky. People always figure that there's a failure rate in change. And so we don't want to be a part of anything that's a failure rate. We came to work yesterday. We did a good job. We got out of here safely. We went home. We loved our families. We came back today, and we just kind of want to be safe again today. So let's change the rules, you know, and all of a sudden people feel unsafe. And if you ever doubt how big safety is in our lives, you really just need to look at your children and change schools. And you might find out just how much this reliance on knowing the same people and having the same routine is to people. But that's really at the heart and soul of resistance. It's always emotional, too. Mm. It's almost never based in what I would call rational thought. Because I think if you really talk to the average person and said, you do know that change is our only constant, and it's the only thing we can't run away from, they would say, of course, of course. So they know intellectually that they do it. But again, they'll all come in and opt for not change.
I think that's interesting. One of the things that you had said was, we feel like change is often attached to risk, and then failure is a possibility from that. But like, when you think about the learning opportunities you get from failure, and generally the risk, I mean, there are things in life where you can risk everything and you can end up losing all your money or relationships or whatever, but most things aren't that high of a risk, yet we still have this resistance because we're afraid of failure. But it, again, getting back to the next kind of question is, you know, failure is such a driver in learning and leadership and part of that change process. It's just an interesting dynamic that we're so afraid of something that's so beneficial.
So let me give you a little bit of different perspective on that particular issue. I have a good friend who likes to say, what you see depends on where you stand. Now that, I think that's Will Rogers or something down the road, but that's one of those kind of things that goes, they're absolutely right. Where you stand depends on what you see, right? So if you're looking at something, I mean, the vast majority of the world says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, here's, you were talking about the failure rate, and let me kind of talk about words for a moment. The word failure scares everybody half to death. And part of it is because we see it as abject failure. In other words, we fail as a person, we fail in our jobs, we fail in our families, we fail in our health, we fail. And I think failure has grabbed this word and really wrestled with it. But let's talk about the other side of change. The other side of change is what you learn. Now, you can call it failure, but I would call it a success.
Yeah.
So by simply changing the word to say, boy, are we going to learn a lot from this change initiative, you change the way people feel about it. So for all of you leaders out there who are trying to adapt to change, don't go at it from the failure rate. Go at it from the success rate. And there's never probably been a meaningful change that hasn't been a great learning experience. Now, failure also is a place to learn. But if, believe it or not, we don't get the majority of our learning through failure. We get the majority of our learning through success.
Yep.
And I often tell people when they come into the programs that we do here at Priority Learning, they come in and say, can you get rid of that one iggly thing that I do terribly? And I'm going, if you're doing things right to the tune of 95 to 97% of the time, why on earth did you come here for your 3%? You will always have 3%. And you can really concentrate on your strengths and double up and get a lot more mileage. So here's the way to look at change. As change comes to an end, for instance, to an evolution, you probably should be breaking it down and talk about what we learned.
Yeah.
Not how we failed or what we didn't do. And that's standard. We as a species are problem solvers, and we see everything as a problem. So therefore, we go back and we go, what didn't work in the change? What we should be starting with is, what did we learn and what worked in the change so we can do more of it?
And I think that it's also an interesting scenario is when people feel like they have a safety net underneath them so that the failure is or whatever learning is minimal in terms of what went wrong. You know, when we're attached to a harness or something like that, boy, do we like jumping off things.
That's right.
So
that's right. I think it's an interesting dynamic, Michael. I know you and I, when we first started talking about this whole podcast thing, the essence of what we're trying to talk about is leadership. It always is going to come back to leadership. How do you lead? And if you lead people in a way that you emphasize resistance and you try to fight resistance, you'll find people resisting. Mm. We are, as a species, naturally resistant. We do not like to be managed. We like to be led, right? And so if somebody says, I'm going to manage you, we go right away, we rebel, right? If we say to people, I'm going to be a good leader, we go, let me follow. Right? So a lot of it lives in the essence of leadership. So change is a leadership equation. And as we started the conversation, every single leader's primary job is to be a change agent.
Yeah. So where does a leader begin that change process?
The one thing that every change initiative has is a need for change or a why. You know, everybody loves the Simon Sinek videos and all this kind of stuff. And Simon Sinek changed the way we use language. If you start with why you want to make change and really are able to sit down and go, how big is that? Now, if one person wants a change and the rest of the group doesn't, you're never going to get the change to happen unless you're so significant. And if you do and you are that significant, that you're going to have to push them every step of the way, which means there's a fair chance that that change won't stick. However, if the need for a change is big and you talk about it and you convince an audience that it's needed, don't fake them out. This is real. Is it a real change that's needed? You'll find support for your change, which will lower the natural resistance people will have for change. So when you ask the question, where do you start? You always start at trying to figure out what the balance is between the need for your change and the resistance you will see. Hmm. When the resistance is less than the need, you'll find change is easy. When you find the resistance is overwhelmingly bigger than the need, you'll find change a bear to work with all the time.
Are there any tips or tricks or recommendations for changing that balance to your favor? So you're the leader, you want to drive this change, but you're seeing a significant resistance portion and you want to minimize that or soften that somehow.
The quick answer to your question is yes. And so if somebody came in and said, I got 5 minutes, Ralph, I'm running through, and I'm going to start this change thing, and I know I'm going to deal with resistance, and you know, they've been to a workshop. the first thing I'm going to tell them is I want you to write a change statement. Now, here's what a change statement is. A change statement says that when this change is complete, this is what the world will look like that it doesn't look like today. Don't write words like we're going to be or we're trying to be. Write what we are. Talk about it in the current tense. And then once you read it, once you write it, rewrite it. And then rewrite it and then share it with people who are going to be part of the change thing until they have a voice in writing that change statement. You will find ownership happening as they rewrite the change statement. Mm-hmm. It's the easy answer. Is it hard work? Yeah, and after you've done it a couple of times, it becomes easy. The first one's always hard.
But I mean, that is a bit of a trick. That is a little bit of a, not quite a fake out, but it's a, hey, I'm working on something. Let me share some of the ownership with you so that you feel like your input is valued.
Yeah.
And then, well, you're a lot less resistant to the change, aren't you?
Yeah. See, think about it from the standpoint of, we always call the need for change dissatisfaction. In other words, dissatisfaction with the status quo, right? So how do you change dissatisfaction? And it's a regular question we ask. Because if your dissatisfaction level is low and your resistance is high, you're not going to get a change.
Right.
So I said, how do you change the equation? Well, how you change the equation is to get the dissatisfaction out there so everybody feels the same dissatisfaction you feel. Now, just by that simple process of involving somebody, people won't go along with a bad idea. Once they see as your idea good, they'll help you write it. Once they help you write it, they will help you own it. So it's an easy, it feels a little bit, all we call it is changing the equation of dissatisfaction.
Well, that's very interesting, Ralph. And, you know, one of the funny things is our next podcast topic is talking about creating more ownership in the workplace, and that kind of follows this subject. So, you know, you want to drive a change, and one of those changes, having more people be involved in feeling the ownership of the organization or whatever team they're on or whatever they're trying to accomplish. So I think this lines us up pretty well for our next podcast. So all you listeners, look out for that. Should be releasing in about 2 weeks after this one. I think we've set a podcast schedule now that on the first Monday of the month, we'll be releasing a podcast, and on the third Monday of the month. So whichever day this releases, I'm not 100% sure which one that'll be yet. Look out for the next one in 2 weeks, and that will be creating more ownership in the workplace. Ralph, thank you so much for sitting down.
Thank you, Michael.
And so if you are new to the podcast, be sure to check us out at PriorityLearningResearch.com. You can find the podcast there, as well as Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and definitely a few more that we're either on or working on getting on. So if you have a favorite podcast listening app, then feel free to look for Priority Learning's Culture Coaching Podcast in that service, and we should be there. So awesome. Well, Ralph, we'll see you next time, and listeners, you'll hear us next time. Thank you for being here.